Question 95. Why does this generation seek after a sign? Mark 8:12, Matthew 16:4 combined. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was the sign of the prophet Jonas? Jesus had said before, Matthew 12, that the sign of the prophet was that as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Jesus made it clear that this was the only sign that would be given, the only sign that Jesus was who he said he was. If this sign doesn't come to pass, then we have no obligation but to deem Jesus of Nazareth as a false Christ, ignore him, and wait for the true Messiah. All we have to do is count the days and nights Jesus was in the grave between his death and resurrection, and we will own proof that he is the long-awaited Messiah. This should be easy, right? Wrong. Try as one might, there are not 3 days and 3 nights to be found in the traditional story of his death, burial, and resurrection. Now we're faced with a choice. Either there is no truth to what Jesus said, he did not say it, or the story we arbitrarily attach to the scriptural account is indeed false. One must find a way for the 3 real 12-hour days and 3 real 12-hour nights to fit into this written account of his burial and resurrection. Excerpt from On Truth. When I proposed this problem to men better trained than I, they told me that in Jerusalem they don't number the days like we do. Over there, part of a day is considered a day, and any part of a night is considered a night. Therefore, Jesus could have been in the grave 3 parts of 3 days, and it would have been considered 3 days in total. Note to myself, when in Jerusalem, don't rent a car by the day. Yet something was wrong here. Though they may be able to show you 3 parts of 3 days between Friday night and Sunday morning, 3 parts of 3 nights simply doesn't exist. Jesus specifically said 3 days and 3 nights. However, I was out of answers. This feeble attempt was all that theology had to offer me. I was faced with the alternative that Jesus' sign was a failure. He was not in the earth 3 days and 3 nights. What's more, no one seemed to care. Did they have more faith than I did? They would say to me, Well, I may not know when he rose, but I know that he did. Well, that may sound good, but he said the only sign in which you can be sure was the length of time. Just as Jonah was, so shall the Son of Man be. If he exaggerated about one, he could have exaggerated about the other. Could Jesus have died for 15 minutes and have accomplished the same thing? Or maybe 15 years? If the time in the grave was unimportant, it should not be a factor at all. Or maybe the word died was an exaggeration too. As far as I was concerned, a miss was as good as a mile. Was I to believe that the God who created the days of the week, the God who says all of our hairs are numbered, was incapable of properly counting and recording the days of his son's death in an accurate manner? Should we all blindly go our way saying the Bible is a trustworthy book if God can't count to 3? The story of my quest to find the truth about the 3 days and 3 nights ended, of course, finding God and his Bible both trustworthy and accurate to within minutes. It was discovered that Jesus was buried on the 4th day of the week, the day called Wednesday, at minutes before sundown and rose on Sabbath evening exactly 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights, later, just as he said. The Sabbath, mentioned as the next day, the day following the crucifixion, was the high Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the weekly Sabbath. One will find that Passover occurred on the fourth day of the week in the year Jesus died, 30 A.D. The sixth day of the week was unavailable to the women to anoint Christ's body because there were soldiers there until the first day morning. The account was true. The sign was true. Men lie to us. We lie to ourselves. But God cannot lie. Very few things that Jesus said and taught could be considered contemporary only to his day and inapplicable for us. But sadly, one such statement is this: why doth this generation seek after a sign? Well, the fact is that our generation seeks after no sign. Generally, we seek after no truth. Most don't care what they believe, and most would rather belong than be right. The words of Jeremiah 5:1 come to mind. Run ye to and fro through the streets, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man that seeketh truth. Our culture has evolved from our roots in Judaism to a thoroughly Greek philosophy. Our God is deemed far off, inexplicable, illogical, and uncaring. The words and ways of Jesus are strange to us. What is essential to him is hardly important to us. The only sign he gave us has gone uninvestigated. Though adulterated, we accept it. Though polluted, we embrace it. Though illogical, we ignore the irrationality of it. I would to God that we would seek after the sign that he promised and stop our pagan rituals and so-called holidays. All denominations are polluted with the falsehood of holidays based on irrational and arbitrary acceptance of fictional history. Even Quakers persecuted in the past for non-compliance and non-participation in the pagan holidays no longer carry the testimony of being friends of truth. They can be found enveloped in and clinging to the false holy days and doctrines of Catholic origin, forsaking their own inner witness and the Scriptures, the very Scriptures we use to justify and celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Good Friday. Upon honest evaluation, condemns those days as lies and presumption. There are hosts of other days and doctrines we celebrate that we hang on false assumption, bad theology, false prophecy, papal decrees, and doctrines of Antichrist. Have we gone so far that we don't even investigate an hour or two examining the only sign Jesus gave us? Do you accept Jesus as truly the Son of God because you know his sign to be true, experientially, by discovery and logic? Or do you just accept the story as truth by ignoring the contradictions, senseless arithmetic, and blatant discrepancies you find in it? Do you hold to Christ in desperation? Or because, as the disciples said when asked if they too would forsake him, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May God have mercy on us all. Why doth this generation seek after a sign? We must answer, we're sorry, Lord, but we don't seek after signs. Nor do we investigate prophecy. We just believe what we're told is truth by men in whom we have placed our trust.